Okay, Brent, ready? Okay, tomorrow they're starting reporting to churches in Michigan, Ohio, New York, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, Rhode Island, North Carolina, Tennessee. So we get to break them in.
That's right. Well, no, you're the fifth church.
Fifth church, right. So, yeah, so tomorrow, and so then at the 4 o'clock, we're going to show a DVD. It's like 6 minutes of the work down there in Costa Rica. And, you know, we might shift it down to that room if AC's working. So he's going to preach for us this morning. You're not going to preach in hell, are you? It's hot in here already. So there you go.
All right. Good to be here. This is the fifth church. We've been here for 12 days, 13 days. So we don't mess around. We get going, man. We get going. I put my suit coat on this morning. I felt a lump here. I'm like, yes, money. It was a tie. I was really disappointed. I was so disappointed, but that's all right. And it is hot. I was not going to wear, I always wear a suit coat when I preach because I don't have to iron. You only iron this section right here. But no, I'm going to have to take my suit coat off and see all my wrinkles. When we were in deputation, I did part of deputation by myself, and I left Jen and the kids at the house, and I'd go, and when I stayed in the hotel, I don't like irons, okay? They're really boring, so what I'd do is my clothes would get wrinkly because I'd fly places, so I'd go to the bathroom, turn the shower on steaming hot for 15 minutes, just let the whole bathroom fog up, and just hang my suit up in there, because I'd heard somewhere that that works. I don't know if it ever did, but it worked enough for me. No one said anything to me about it, so that's good. All right, we're going to go to Proverbs 30. Proverbs 30. So good to be here. Actually, I don't think I've seen this much of my family in a long, long time. So I see cousins from Florida, an aunt from Thailand, sister from Michigan, sister from New York, aunts and uncles from Indiana. That's just boring. Sorry, Indiana. But it's good. It's been looking forward to seeing the party this afternoon. It's been great seeing all my family. Okay. So I thought it was my wife crying already. She's like, oh, he's going there again. Okay. That's how she usually reacts to my sermons. Don't worry. I'm actually used to so many. You should see all the distractions we have down there. Let's pray first before we get into the message. Lord, thank you for this day you've given us. Lord, thank you for every person here. Lord, we're here to hear from your word. Lord, we're not here to be seen by others. We're not here to check something off the list. Lord, we're here because we love you. Lord, we ask if you just help us to show the world that you are the only way, that you are the truth, that you are the life. Lord, thank you for this privilege of talking about you and preaching about you today. Please give them what you've given me out of this message. In your name, amen. Amen. I always, I'm going to teach you all one word in Spanish. This is for me, okay? Guapísimo. What does that mean there, Brother Moses? It means very handsome, okay? Now you all learn another word in Spanish. We're going to Proverbs 30. Proverbs 30. It is hot up here. I'm sorry. Don't judge my wrinkles, okay? Really, don't judge your wrinkles. I'm going to walk like this so you can't see that I didn't wrinkle my back. I didn't iron the back. It is great being in deputation. You can preach the same, or the furlough, you can preach the same message over and over and over again, so that's great. And I got to do a new one, though, because I'm going to Jay and Ash's church next week, so it's, oh, man, I got to find a new one. But we're going to Proverbs 30. It's one of my favorite chapters in the entire Bible. If you read your Proverbs a day, I know I don't really do that. I read my Bible every day, but I don't do the Proverbs thing. I just start in Genesis, go all the way to Revelation, Genesis, Revelation, so get that going. Some people read Proverbs. I used to do this for a while. Some people would read a Proverbs a day to correspond with the date. And it's a good idea. It's a very good idea to do that. But Proverbs 30 was always my favorite chapter. I always loved Proverbs 30. My birthday is on the 30th. It's tomorrow, actually. Grandpa and Grandma got married on my birthday. It was very kind of them to pre-plan that out, like 30-something years in the future there. They know he was coming along. It's like, we're going to get married on his birthday. So I always tell her that, and she always tells me, no, it's the other way around. I think she's wrong, but that's okay. But I am very privileged. I'm blessed to have great grandparents. Thank you, Grandpa and Grandma, for all you've done with your life. You've left a godly heritage, and I thank you for that. All right, Proverbs 30. So occasionally, growing up, I would work on the farm with Grandpa and Grandma. And I'd spend the night there because they'd just work me all the time. Just work me and work me to get that slave, that whip out there going like, go! Psh! But I'd spend the night there occasionally. And in the morning, they had this great custom. they always read a proverb at breakfast time. And they'd always read it, and Grandpa would read it, and Grandma would sit there. At least when I was there. Maybe they just put on a face for me, I don't know. But at least when I was there, they always read it. And I always loved the 30th. Because this, if you read this chapter, it's a fun chapter. And I actually started this with Grandpa and Grandma. Grandpa would start reading and go, okay, Edna, if you read this, if you know this chapter, you know what I'm talking about. They have a list. This is a chapter of lists. No, there's a, we're going to start in verse 18 says, there be three things which are too wonderful for me. Yea, four which, or verse, yeah. Verse 15, excuse me. The horse leech hath two daughters crying, give, give. There are three things that are never satisfied. Yea, four things say not, it is enough. Verse 18 says, there be three things which are too wonderful for me. Yea, four things which I know not. Verse 21 says, for three things the earth is disquieted, and for four which it cannot bear. Verse 24, there be four things which are little upon the earth, but they're exceeding wise. Verse 29, there be three things which go well, yea, four are comely in going. So there's always, you have like several lists of four here, and Grandpa would always say, okay, Edna, guess. So Grandma would guess, and I would try to guess, and Grandpa would say, oh, the three things which go well, and Grandma said, the he-goat, and the mountain lion, the king, or the lion and the king, and it's always just a fun chapter. And I always like, so whenever I read through Proverbs, I always look forward to the 30th. Which is a fun chapter to read. And Jen and I actually, we do the same thing now. I'll just say someone will be driving, and I'll be like, three things. And she's like, three things of what? It's like, four, go. And then we try to guess them. And it's just fun. It really is a lot of fun. But if we read down this chapter, here we see in verse 5 and 6, two great verses that we use to prove that we believe the King James Bible. I am a King James Bible believer. I always will be my entire life. Proverbs 30, verse 5 and 6 says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not to his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. So this is a very good chapter. Very good chapter. I love reading it. But a few times ago, I was reading through my Bible here, and I noticed a section here. This whole chapter is fun, kind of positive. There's a lot of good things. But there's one little section here, verses 11 through 14. And because I'm a Bible believer, I like to focus on the negative, right? So we're going to focus on the negative today. Proverbs 30, verse 11 says, there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There's a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. So today I want to preach about there is a generation. There is a generation. Right now we have a horrible generation. You look out there. Joe was talking about a little bit in Sunday school. Joe, I appreciate that lesson there is very good. Really appreciate it. More people, show up to Sunday school. Joe's a good teacher. You need to be here. He gave me $5 to say that, okay? Okay. But show up for Sunday school. God wants us to be here for Sunday school as well. But there's a generation. We look out, we see all the stuff. Joe was talking a little bit about getting wrapped up in the politics and stuff. And I admit, I was down there too. I was down there in Costa Rica yelling at the TV as well, okay? I wasn't saying bad words. I was thinking possibly about those bad people, about the politicians. But I was in there with you, and we had to step back. And we look back, and we see this generation that's going on around us. We see people that are just crazy. The world is crazy. There is a man... I shouldn't say man. There's a thing down there by our church down there in Tirasas in Costa Rica. I believe he's a cross-dressing prostitute. It's crazy. He walks around in the middle of the day. It's just, my kids have seen it many, many times. So it's just stuff my kids shouldn't have to see. My youngest is 7 years old. He's like, oh, look, there's the gay guy again. I'm like, no, he's not gay, buddy. He's just nasty. Okay? He's just nasty. That's all that is. But there is a generation. We're in this generation now. We look about it. World War II, we called them what? The men that fought against Hitler, that supposedly defeated communism, that brought us out of the recession, depression. This was called the what? What generation? The greatest generation. That was a good generation. But look what happened now. Oh man, if those men that fought in World War II came now, they'd be like, what in the world did I fight for my country for? Pure embarrassment. Pure embarrassment. But today I'm not preaching about that because you know what? They're out in the world. They're not going to be in here. Because I can't do anything. I can't do anything to get them in here. I can invite them, but they're not going to come in here. I see the world around me, and I travel a lot, obviously. I don't like the world I see. Whether in Costa Rica or here, I don't like it. It's scary. As a parent, it's very scary to see what my kids are growing up in. I have 5 kids, man. I don't want them seeing this garbage, and they're growing up in it. But I'm not preaching about that. I want to preach about a different generation today. I want to preach about the second generation of Christians. Because what we do in here affects out there. Out there is the reason it is, because we haven't done our jobs in here. Second generation Christians. There is a generation. Oh, how lofty are our eyes. All right, we're going to do this because I don't want you guys to get bored. We're going to have some of you stand. Everyone's going to stand eventually. Not yet. Every person that was a first generation Christian, I would like you to stand up. First generation Christian. If you don't know what I'm saying, someone, you did not grow up in a Christian family. First generation Christian. Everyone stand up, please. Yeah, Rick, you're a first generation Christian as well. If you got saved around the same time as your parents. If you got saved, okay, thank you. And I thank every one of you for what you have done. You are trailblazers. Thank you very much. Okay, go ahead and sit down. Second generation Christians. Everyone stand up, please. Second generation Christians. Okay. Now, Lindsay and Ash, we're third generation Christians. Sit down. Okay, thank you. Third generation Christians, stand up. That is myself. I'm a third generation Christian as well. Okay, are there any fourth generation Christians? Thank you. You can sit down. Thank you. Coming up, my kids are that as well. Grace, are you a fourth generation Christian? Fourth or fifth. Very good. Very good. Thank you. You can sit down. I see fifth generation's on the way. I really hope so. If not, I just stuck my foot in my mouth really big time. Okay. We had a decent amount of first generation Christians, and I thank you for that. We had less second, less third. Today I'm preaching at the second and third and fourth generation Christians. There's a generation of how lofty are our eyes, and our eyelids are lifted up. We have failed. We have failed as another generation Christian. We talked about the greatest generation that came from World War II, and look at us now. What about our greatest generation? We had Billy Sunday. We shut down Christians. We shut down bars. We shut down towns. We had weeks-long revivals. Did we not? Did God change? God didn't change. Billy Sunday's God is my God. True. Billy Sunday's God is my God. What happened? It ain't Billy Sunday, right? It's us. It's not God. It's us. Us second generation Christians, third generation Christians, fourth generation Christians, we have dropped the ball. The world is like that because of what we have dropped. So today I want to preach at the second, third generation Christians. If you're first, take a nap, okay? Just take a nap. We're good to go. But second, third, fourth generation Christians, because we are, and I want to, like I said before, I want to thank the first generation Christians for what you did. You broke norms. You went against family a lot of times. You lost friendships. Maybe some of you lost jobs to get saved and follow Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for that. You broke the grounds for us. I'm thankful for my grandparents. I'm thankful for my parents. They broke the ground for me. I don't know what it's like to not grow up in a Christian family. I don't know. And I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for that so much. But second, third generation Christians, fourth generation Christians, oh man, we have dropped the ball. And I'm not singling anyone out. I grew up with a lot of Christians in church. A lot of kids my age, second, third, fourth generation Christians. Don't see a whole lot of them here. Don't see a whole lot of them in church. There's some good ones. I know the Yancey kids, they have moved out to Arizona. They've done a great job. I'm very proud of them. There's not a whole lot of elders that are here. And I'm not pointing anyone out. Fact of life. It's a fact of life. Second, third, fourth generation Christians. Every generation, we get a little further away from the Lord, don't we? We want to be cool. Growing up in the mission field, or being in the mission field, we have noticed something, Jen and I. We are more drawn to people that are not cool. So if we hang out with you, you're a dork. I'm sorry, okay? We don't fit in with the cool crowd. We don't want to fit in with the cool crowd. I really don't. You realize that cool isn't eternal. Cool is not eternal. Maybe you're good looking, guys. Maybe you have that six pack for a couple years. For me, never. They never did come in. I had appendicitis last year, and the doctor knocked me out. And when I woke up, I asked him in Spanish, I asked him if he gave me a six pack. I was really disappointed when he said no. I was like, oh, come on, man. It's your opportunity. What's your problem? You missed it. Cool doesn't last forever. You know what lasts? What you do spiritually, spirituality, what you're doing for the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what lasts. Hanging out with a cool crowd doesn't. And we, as second and third generation Christians, we look at things and we look at the world and we look at things like, oh, I missed out on some stuff. We did miss out on stuff. We really did. We missed out on scars. We missed out on regret. We missed out on heartbreak. We missed out on hangovers and whatever else that we've missed out on that stuff. And it's not a miss out, okay? It's that, as Joe was talking about this morning, he said Sunday mornings was for hangovers. Thank the Lord, I don't know that lifestyle. I didn't miss out on it. I'm so thankful for my parents. But I want to talk about second generation Christians today, because many times we run back to the world. Our parents broke through. The first generation broke through, followed Jesus Christ, said, this is what we're going to do, this is what we're going to do, this is what we're going to do. Second, third generation Christians said, we're running back. We're like dogs going to the vomit, the Bible says. We're eating the corn husk with the pigs, like the prodigal son. So today I want to preach about there is a generation. There is a generation, because I feel if we turn ourselves around, we can turn the world around. We can turn those people out there around for Jesus Christ. We can. But we have to turn ourselves around first. And I'm including myself in this. I know the struggle. I mean, I was a homeschool kid. We're the dork. It was like dork layers. Homeschools are like the top of the dork layer, okay? I grew up there. That's what I was. I desperately wanted to be cool. I desperately wanted this and that. I never made it, obviously. Never made it. But you know what? I love the Lord. I'm serving the Lord. I'm not bragging, because I had my pitfalls too. We all have our pitfalls. So I want to encourage the second and third generation Christians to listen to this. This is what we're gonna go through this right now. First of all, the first point, like I always say, I don't ever alliterate my points. I'm not a real Baptist, so I don't alliterate my points. But make God your God. Make the family beliefs your beliefs. We're going to go to Nehemiah 13. Nehemiah 13. Make God your God. A second, third generation Christians, God is the God of the family, is he not? He's the God of the church, but he's not my God. We just kind of assume that because my parents follow the Lord, oh, I follow the Lord. Because the church follows the Lord, that automatically makes me a good Christian. The Bible says over 120 times, my God, my God. Nehemiah 13:14 says, remember me, oh, my God. Nehemiah 13:22 says, and I command the Levite at the end, says, remember me, oh, my God. Verse 29 says, oh, remember them, oh, my God. At the end of verse 31, the end, last verse of the chapter, remember me, oh, my God, for good. Is God your God? Is God your God? Or is he just some God that, you know, I see him on church on Sundays, my family talks about him, pastor talks about him, but he's not really my God. Yeah, I'm saved, I'm a Christian, but it's not like I have anything going with him. Make God your God. Don't rely on that first generation for your spiritual walk. Man, growing up, and my dad's a pastor. And I know I had to move away. I had to make my beliefs, not because dad said so. And ultimately, yes, I read, I studied for myself. And most of my beliefs line with dad. I believe from the Bible. But it's not because dad said so. It's because I went in and studied for myself. Second generation Christians, we just so easily rely. Oh, he said it. In my church down there in Costa Rica, we are going through a series. The basic beliefs, our base doctrines of what we believe. And people are like, why do we believe that? I said, because if I say it, it doesn't matter. It matters what the Bible says. So we're going to study everything and read it from the Bible. So they really enjoy it. They're growing. It's great. I had to scrape some rust off of some of them, or some false beliefs off of some of them. But make God your God and make the beliefs your beliefs. Now, I'm not saying just pick up something out of the Bible and believe crazy. I'm saying go to the Bible and study it and find it out. Because you know how many times people fall into false doctrine? You know why? Because they don't know the Bible. That's what my parents said this, my pastor says this, and my church says this, and this is this and this and that. And I believe it. And then some JW comes along, some Mormon comes along and says, oh, but yes, but did you know this? And like, oh, because we never study the Bible. We never get in the Bible. The beliefs are just some family belief. It's like a family car. Anyone jumps in it and drives, right? That's not the family beliefs. Your beliefs should be personal. Your God should be personal. It's not just for everybody. It's for me. My beliefs are my beliefs because God showed me from the Bible what it is. Not because somebody told me. Make God your God and make your beliefs your beliefs. 2 Samuel 7:18. 2 Samuel 7:18. I love this verse here. This is after David. Wanted to build the temple, and he couldn't build the temple. And God told him no. God said this and this and this reason. 2 Samuel 7:18 says, then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And this is yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God, but thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of man, O Lord God? Develop a personal relationship with God. Go in there. Get comfortable with God. I'm not saying, no, take your shoes off, prop them up on the thing, on the seat. Get comfortable with God. Get comfortable with talking with God. Get in there and say, who am I, God? I'm nothing. I'm garbage. I really am. Honestly, if you guys really knew me, I'm garbage. And if I really knew you, you're garbage. We're all garbage. We're really nothing. And this isn't an insult to anybody. We're not nearly as cool as we think we are. We really aren't. We're not nearly as spiritual as we think we are. We really aren't. Man, my feet stink. Ask my wife. She'll tell you happily. We all smell bad. We all have weird quirks. We all do weird things. We're not special. Don't think too highly of yourself. Develop that personal relationship with God. Go to God. Who am I? Some random, rotten sinner that you saved. Thank you, Jesus. Develop that personal relationship with God. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God. We're not going to go there because we are running short on time. One other verse that we're going to read, Hosea 4:6. Hosea 4:6. Because as second and third generation Christians, way too often we get comfortable with the fact that Pastor did all the studying for me. Mom and Dad did all the studying for me. Sunday school teacher did all the studying for me. I don't need to. But like I said, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are what? For what? For lack of knowledge. Why is there a lack of knowledge? It's not because the pastor's not preaching it. How many times and how many hours a week are you in church? If you go to Sunday school, an hour, you go to church, Sunday morning, 2 hours. If you go Thursday or Wednesday night, or Sunday night, excuse me, it's an hour. You go Thursday night, an hour. 4 hours a week. And if we take out singing, we take out announcements, we take out offering, we're down to probably 2.5 to 3 hours of preaching a week. How many hours do you live a day? Every one of them, right? 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Who wants to do math? Rick, you're good at math. Quick. How many? There's a lot. We'll go a lot. Sorry, it's my fault. I put him on the spot. How many? 168. 168 hours a week. Pastor with you 168 hours a week? For his sake, I hope not. For your sake, I hope not. Because we all get sick of each other after a amount of time, right? Study to show thyself approved unto God. I'm not studying to show my kids approved. I'm studying to show myself approved. I'm not studying to show my father approved. I'm studying to show myself approved. And my kids are going to study to show themselves approved, Lord willing. My dad studied to show himself approved. You guys should study to show yourselves approved unto God. And if we don't, we will be destroyed for the lack of knowledge. How many stupid Christians are out there nowadays? Oh, there's so many stupid. Believe me, I travel a lot. There's stupid people and stupid Christians. And there's stupid people Christians, okay? I mean, the stupidity runs rampant out in the world right now. Because we're destroyed for the lack of knowledge. We do not get in the Bible. We do not study it. Oh, we read it 3 minutes a day and boom. There we go. Does the Bible say read your Bible to show yourself approved? Study. What's study? Now, if you did like I did for tests, that means the night before the test and try to remember everything, right? Or we won't tell cheating tips because that's bad. We won't go there. Study to show yourself approved unto God. All right, the second one. First of all, is make God your God. Make him a personal God. Second one is forget your pedigree, find your purpose. Forget your pedigree, find your purpose. I know we're not dogs, but we're going to talk about pedigree here. Your bloodline. When I was on deputation, we had a pastor, and he knew who I was. And I get up there, he's like, this is Brother Hoffman. His dad's Dave Hoffman. He's from Rick Sal's church. He's got great bloodlines. I told him, I was like, brother, it doesn't matter. Bloodlines don't matter. Bloodlines do not matter. What matters is what I'm doing for the Lord. We went down to Brother Peacock's church. And he knew who I was. He asked me, I said, what are you doing? And he knew I was a missionary. And he said, what are you? I said, oh, and I jokingly said, I'm just hanging on my dad's coattails. And he told me something very profound. He said, no, you're not. He said, you're your own man, following the Lord of your own will. Don't ever belittle that. I'm not getting rewards in heaven for my dad. He might get rewards in heaven because of the way he raised me. My kids might get rewards in heaven for the way I raised them, but I'm not getting them for him. Forget your pedigree, find your purpose. God doesn't care who your parents are. I've seen great Christians come from horrible homes. I've seen horrible Christians come from great homes. Find your purpose. What are we supposed to do? What does the Bible say? We were made to what, the Bible says? I was made to what? Praise the Lord. I was made to praise the Lord. Revelation 4:11 says, we're going to be standing around the throne someday praising the Lord. Forget who you think you are and find your purpose in life. I'm not talking about some magical, mystical purpose where, you know, you follow your heart and whatever that is. That's garbage. We don't do that. Your purpose in the Lord is to serve the Lord. That's why God put me in this earth. He did not put me in this earth to make tons of money and be happy and buy 17 cars and 18 houses and 37 boats and whatever else they have. I'll never have any of that, by the way. God put me in this earth to win other people for Jesus Christ. God put me in this earth to be a light for Christ. When I'm focusing on everything else, focusing on my fun and focusing on my things and focusing on what I want to do, I'm covering my light. What does Matthew 5 say? We are set where? On a hill. Man, we live on a mountain. We live about 5,000 feet in the air, and we can see down in the valley, and you see all those little lights everywhere. It's really beautiful. It's really beautiful. That's us as Christians. And occasionally you see a light, like, twinkle or flash, and then it kind of goes out. That's a lot of Christians, too. I don't want to be a burnt-out Christian. I don't. Forget your pedigree. Forget who you think you are. Find your purpose in life. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians 6:20. We're going to 1 Corinthians 6:20. I know it's hot in here, and I have material for another 25 minutes, but I will not do that to you. I did not hear an amen. That's surprising. I thought for sure I was going to hear an amen. 1 Corinthians 6:20. I always tell my church people this. So we are not our own. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, for ye are not bought with a price. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are mine. What does the Bible say? Which are God's. Which are God's. Don't ever think that what you have is yours. We have to give. A lot of times we have to help our church people down there. And do pray for our church people. This is not part of the sermon. Pray for them, because right now in our area is going through a drug war. They've murdered 3 or 4 people in broad daylight. Our church people are hiding in the house there, just scared. So do please pray for our people. It's very rough right now, what's going on down there. But I was telling my church people, we're bought. We're not our own. We can't do what we want to do. We cannot sit there and please ourselves. Jesus Christ bought us. And if you don't like it, don't accept his free gift, right? If you don't like it, stay lost. Go to hell. I don't care. That's your, well, I do care. I don't want him to. But if you don't like it, then just go ahead and choose the devil. We're complaining about salvation. We're complaining about doing what the Lord says we have to do. It's kind of weird, isn't it? If you think about it, I don't want to follow the Lord. Why do I have to do this? We're complaining about heaven. We're complaining about the free gift of eternal life. How can we possibly do that? So forget your pedigree, find your purpose. And finally, we will go, learn from your fathers and honor their godly paths. I know Brother Richardson stood up, first generation Christian. I know my grandparents, my dad. Who else stood up, first generation Christians? With the hairs, did you stand up? Brother Phillips, I see you too. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. And you guys have set godly paths for us. You really have. And I thank you for that. We're going to go to Psalms 16:6. Psalms 16:6. I know this isn't like a joyful, exciting one, but I want us to do something for Jesus Christ. I want us to be that generation that returns back to God. I want us to be the generation that changes the world. We saw Billy Sunday do it. We saw all those D.L. Moody. We saw all those old-time evangelists do that. Billy Sunday was known as a preacher that shut down the bars. He was known as that. And man, we don't even turn off the TV when it offends our conscience. We can't even go to church on Thursday nights. I know some of you have to work. I'm not. If you have to work, if you have a legit excuse, I'm not belittling that. But man, we can't be bothered to be inconvenienced for God. We have changed. We have changed. Psalm 16:6 says, the lions are fallen unto me in a pleasant place. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. And if you have a goodly heritage, praise the Lord. Thank you so much for the first generation that did it. If you have a goodly heritage, that's wonderful. Don't change it. Don't be the one that breaks that godly line. Don't be the one that changes it. because that's scary. We'll go to Proverbs 22:8. Proverbs 22:8. I've not actually preached this message in Spanish at all. I've not preached it. Lord impressed this on my heart about 2 months ago. So I just did it up. I didn't even have it because all my Christians down there are first generation Christians. All of them are. But God just pressed this upon my heart. He wanted me to do this. I felt like he wanted me to do this. And I made it up. I didn't have any church in particular in mind. And then Dad asked me to preach it alone. I just felt the Lord tell me Tuesday, preach this message. Preach this message. I don't want anyone to think that I don't have any axe to grind. I really don't. I don't have any axe to grind against anybody. But I just felt the Lord tell me this. Proverbs 22:28 says, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. If you had a good godly heritage and you were growing up in that, please don't go away. Please don't go away. It's kind of scary. I'm 39. I'll be 39 tomorrow. I feel very old. I know, and that should make some of you feel old. You guys knew me since I was like 2 years old. But I'm 39 tomorrow. I see my dad. He's what, 60? Going to be 64 soon. I see a lot of good prayer. I'm in a lot of churches. I've been in hundreds of churches. I see a lot of good churches. I see a lot of good preachers. I see a lot of pastors that are in their 60s and 70s getting ready to retire. And I don't see anyone my age generation coming up. It's kind of scary. I don't. I'm not saying the Lord can't raise someone up. He can. But a lot of people in my generation, we have dropped the ball. We have said, nope, I'm following the dollar. I'm following my own will. I'm following what I want to do. We have dropped the ball. We are not following the Lord with all of our heart. We're not following the Lord and doing what he wants us to do. We have moved the ancient landmark. And it's sad. And it actually breaks my heart. I love America. I do. I live in a garbage country. I do. I live in a garbage country. I know it looks beautiful. It's not America. I love America. I love my church. I love Christians. And I want to see Christians grow. I want to see them keep going. And I'm seeing churches all over America closing down. We just had one email me a couple weeks ago, said, Brother Hoffman, sorry we can't support you anymore. We're closing our doors. You always hear about it. Everyone always says, no, you read all the magazines, churches are closing doors, and I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it. Church is a good church. Good church that loves the Lord. He just couldn't get the second generation, third generation people to stay in church. And we say, the people say that the contemporaries say, oh, you guys are boring. No, it's not boring. The truth isn't boring. Why do I have to be entertained? Why do I have to expect the pastor to do a song and dance and a cartwheel to keep me in church? Bible should keep me in church. Truth should keep me in church. We've removed that ancient landmark. We have moved it far away. We look in Jeremiah. We're not going to go there, but Jeremiah 35. Jeremiah said something to the Rechabites. We're not going there. We're not going there because we're about done. Jeremiah went to the Rechabites and he told them, do this thing. And they said, no, our great, 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 great grandpappy said, don't do this. And we have not done that since then. You know what Jeremiah said? He blessed them. He said, you will not lack or fault for a son because you have kept that ancient landmark. You know what I appreciate? I'm going to call some people out here. I appreciate Sam Gilchrist. He's in church. He loves the Lord. I have known Sam since he was, what, six, five? 6 years old. When he was actually shorter than me. That one time he was actually shorter than me. Man, I'm going to go back to Costa Rica. I am taller than everyone there. It's great. I have seen Sam grow up. I have seen him never go to church. He stayed in church. I appreciate that. I appreciate my cousins. They grew up on the mission field. Man, I know how tough that is. They're still in church. They love the Lord. Thank you, Josh. Thank you, Jesse. I know Shelly's out with a baby. Thank you for that. I appreciate second, third generation Christians that stay in church their whole life. I do. Brother Encinas, you're second generation Christian, right? I appreciate that. You're still in church. You guys aren't preachers. You guys aren't missionaries. You're still just as important to the church. You guys are just as important. I appreciate second, third generation Christians. I appreciate my brother-in-law, Rick, staying in church, serving the Lord. I appreciate every second, third generation Christian that stays in church, serving the Lord, loving the Lord, putting God first. Rachel, you said you're second generation as well. I appreciate you. There's so few of us. There's so few second and third generation Christians that actually want to serve the Lord. I'm third generation Christian. That's pretty rare. I'm praying my kids, my fourth generation Christians, stay in church. You do not know how much I pray for that. I want them to stay in church. I want a fifth generation. Can I be greedy and say I want a sixth generation in church? Or maybe the Lord will come back. We'll just skip all that too. The Lord doesn't come back. If he doesn't come back, I want a sixth generation in church. All started because my grandparents and my dad got saved. My grandparents and my mom got saved. They planted those ancient landmarks. Thank the Lord. I thought about pushing them. I did. I thought about pushing them. I said, you know what? Stupid. I'm going to stay right here. I have those ancient landmarks set for my kids. Lord willing, they're going to stay with us or stay in that ancient landmark. But I know there's many second, third, fourth generation Christians, even probably some that are in here that are thinking about pushing it, thinking about what I'm missing out there. You're not missing anything, guys. You're really not. You're missing out on rewards. Oh, okay, you are. You're missing out on rewards in heaven if you leave. You're missing out on peace. You're missing out on relationships with your fellow Christians. Hey, you're missing out on stuff, the good stuff, if you leave. You're missing out on the bad stuff if you stay. Remove not the ancient landmark. Solomon learned humility from his father. If we saw, I read earlier about David went in there before God and said, who am I? If you're looking, we're not going to go there, but 2 Chronicles, Solomon went in there and said basically the same thing. Who am I, God? Learn from the first generation Christians. Do not move the ancient landmark. Let's follow Jesus Christ. Because I firmly believe, Christians, if we get back to God, if we get back to doing what God wants us to do, if we get back to putting God first, not the dollar. Dollar only says one thing, right? It says buy. It never says I'm staying with you forever. My wife said that, and she said she's kept that promise so far, right? 17 years so far. The dollar says buy. The world says gimme, gimme. Satan says do what I say. Jesus says I'm here for you forever. Stay in the path. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this day you've given us. Lord, thank you for these people. Lord, this is a good church. It's a very good church. Lord, there are a lot of people here that love you. There are a lot of people here that want to serve you. They've loved you their whole life. Lord, please help this next year, a second generation Christians, us third, us fourth. Please help us to follow strong behind them. Lord, we know that you will always raise up somebody, but Lord, if we're not willing to do it, you will raise up someone else. But Lord, I want to be that person. I want to be that person that keeps following you. I want my wife to be that person. I want my kids to be that person that always follow you, always serves you. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for what you've done. Thank you for the godly heritage you have given us. Thank you for those first generation Christians that loved you so much that they turned their back on the world, turned their back on Satan, and kept and followed you. Lord, please just keep us in your will. Please keep us fighting for you. And amen.
Play the altars open. I don't know how many times when I used to visit a county jail, witness to somebody, and a kid said, oh, my dad's a Pentecostal preacher. My granddad's a Pentecostal preacher. And a lot of these, and I just look at it and say, what's that got to do with anything? Second generation, third generation, you may not know it, but there's a bullseye in your forehead. There's a bullseye in your forehead, and the devil wants to take you down. And the ones that have gotten hit, well, once they recover, we need to help them. Obviously, it's ideal to stay faithful. Lord, thank you for this. Thank you for this thought. Thank you for this idea. And I pray this would encourage all of us, first, second, third, fourth, fifth, whatever generation we are in the Lord Jesus, that we each of us know that each and every one of us are going to give account of ourselves to God. We thank you for that. We thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay.